This is Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, and you're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Welcome back to Sports Call on this Wednesday afternoon on Tiger 95.9. Ryan Lavoie, Tom Peavy, and Cam Berry with you here as we head to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line, where we welcome on Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. As always, Justin, we certainly appreciate the time. How are things in your world?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Doing very well. So we've got some interesting football and basketball off-season discussions now, as basketball continues to see some portal entries. So we'll start there, then get to post-spring practice for football. With the news yesterday of Aiden Holloway hitting the portal, now Auburn has seen both of its point guards hit the portal. So now, Ferg, when we're looking for what Auburn needs to do, do you feel they need to – not only get someone like J.P. Pegues, but they might now be looking for two portal guards, or do you think that just one would suffice?
Yeah, it would be interesting to see. I mean, back a couple of weeks ago when we talked to Bruce Pearl, I asked him about Todd Pettiford, and he was like, look, we're going to play Todd Pettiford off the ball because, you know, that he's a bucket getter. And at that point in time, Auburn still had Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway both on the roster, so that made sense. I do wonder how much that would change if Auburn may look at potentially playing Pettiford at the point now that, you know, they don't have their top two guys on the roster in the moment. There's a bunch of different options to go. I wrote about it today at the Observer, and the top two names to look for, you mentioned one of them, is J.P. Pegues. You know, obviously visited from Furman last week. He's going to visit Florida this week. Should come down to probably either Auburn or Florida, South Carolina, also in the mix, Oklahoma as well. You know, Pegues is a guy, a great three-level scorer. You know, Auburn saw him up close and personal when they had a scrimmage earlier this year before the season started, really, with Furman. And he's a really good player and good shooter. You know, gets to the basket well, gets to the free throw line, knocks down his opportunities there. Was a good defender as well, averaged over a steal a game. So he would be a great pickup for everybody. He's played 3 years straight, really, really good Furman team. That, you know, won, you know, beat Virginia in the NCAA tournament 2 seasons ago. Pegues actually hit that crazy game winner against Virginia. So there's a lot to like about him. And then the other name is Miles Rice. And if you don't know Miles Rice, you probably should get acquainted with him. He's going to end up somewhere where I think he's going to be really good. But Miles Rice played high school ball and AAU ball in Atlanta with Jabari Smith a few years ago. And while Jabari's now in his second year in the NBA, this was the first year that Rice actually got to play this past season at Washington State. He got redshirted his first year, and then he got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, missed all of what would have been his second season in college basketball, beats cancer, comes back, is, you know, a Pac-12 freshman of the year, all Pac-12 guy, excellent player, did not shoot the ball well from deep, had a long stretch towards the end of the season where he just could not hit a three. So his number overall is low, but he shot really well from deep at the start of the year. He got hot at different times in the year. He's a great guy at the basket. You know, he converts over 60% of his looks, you know, in the paint, at the rim, great driver, great in transition, great defender. Washington State was an awesome defensive team. Obviously made it to the NCAA tournament for the first time, I think since 08. Was a great defensive team. He was a linchpin to all that. So you're talking about a great two-way guard. He's obviously got an Auburn connection, close to home. Auburn's going to be in the mix there for him. So those are your two big names to look. There could be more guys coming in, you know, that Auburn go, but those are the top two names to look for in the portal. And then kind of overall, I would just like to remind Auburn fans, like, right now, just because a guy goes in the portal doesn't mean he's gone forever. There could be an opportunity now that both of those guys are in the portal. Maybe one of them comes back. And I think if Auburn could convince one of them to come back and sign, you know, a transfer guard, you know, point guard, I think they would be more than fine moving forward. So we'll see. There's a lot of different moving pieces there, but I do think that top priority is to get one of those experienced guards. And right now, Pegues and Rice are the two big names to look at.
Where do you feel like some of these other guys are in terms of their decision-making process? I know that the NBA deadline comes up at the end of the month. But we've really only heard from, in terms of returnees, from Chad Baker Mazzara. I mean, again, I know it's kind of hard to guess for everybody, but does it feel sooner rather than later for most of these decisions?
Yeah, I mean, you really are only going to have to, I think, seriously worry about Jahni Broome going in to the draft. I mean, not to take anything away from the other guys, it's just he's the one with the actual stock, he's the one with the actual buzz, you know, going in. Chad Baker Mazzara made his announcement. Denver Jones was a guy that Bruce Pearl said a couple weeks ago was coming back. He hasn't said anything officially, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Denver was just one of those guys who just came back because that kind of fits his personality, you know, without making any sort of announcement or anything like that. I would expect Chaney Johnson back next year, you know, for sure. It's like, okay, what do you do with Jahni Broome? You know, what does Dylan Carwell do? Does Chris Moore come back, you know, for another season? You know, what does that end up looking like for Auburn? So, yeah, Jahni's the big one, you know. And I think Auburn would love, you know, to get this thing kind of wrapped up sooner rather than later in terms of, you know, the decision. They don't want to stretch anything out, I think, super long. Last year, you know, Jahni had such a great draft process, and he really considered going pro after what he did at the combine. But, you know, that went all the way to the end of June. I don't think Auburn wants to be in that position again. It's not like they're going to hold a gun to his head and say, hey, you need to make a decision right now. I think they're going to give him space and time. But I would also imagine that when Jahni Broome makes his decision this year, I think it's going to be one way or another. I think he is going to capitalize on where his draft stock is right now and go ahead and go in. Or, you know, I could see him saying, hey, let's go ahead and announce that we're going to run it back next year with him. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think Auburn will be waiting as long with Jahni as they did last year. And I think that one could go either way. I honestly do. I think they're, it just is going to depend on what Broome, considers to be the most important to him. You know, just the factors, talking it over with his family, of course, because he's probably a second round guy. And in the NBA, second round guys can get a wide range of contracts. I mean, you could get guaranteed money, but you could also get put on a two-way deal or, you know, maybe even fall to like an Exhibit 10 contract or something like that. And then, you know, if he's not getting like guaranteed draft pick money right out of college, I think Auburn's NIL offer could be very competitive with a two-way deal with some of these other things that they did. So, I mean, all those have to kind of factor in, and we'll see what the league thinks of him after what was a really good season.
Of course, on the football side of things, spring practice wrapping up this past weekend with A-Day. And, of course, Ferg, I know it's always asked about. I know it's always talked a lot about. But I do want to ask you and your thoughts on the passing game, not only what we saw from the quarterbacks, but obviously what the impact of some of these new wide receivers are also doing.
Oh, I mean, it was a big day for the wide receivers, I think, because, I mean, Cam Coleman was Cam Coleman, right? You know, he did the things that we thought he was going to do, and he's a special player. I mean, he's ultra talented, and you know, he's still a freshman. You know, there's, you know, Hugh Freeze thought about having, you know, missing some assignments and stuff like that, and, you know, costing what could have been some bigger plays there, you know, down the stretch. But, you know, I think that was the thing with Cam Coleman, is just he just showed you why he quickly rose to the top of the depth chart, what he's made of. Also thought it was a great game for Robert Lewis as well. Really good, you know, just kind of reliable presence on the outside. Could also play on the inside. He's going to give you a really good baseline, a really good floor, just because he's done it. You know, he's played a lot of football in the past. Thought you got to see some flashes from some other guys. You know, Cameron Brown, was good to see him come back from an injury and play well in that game. And then overall, I think, you know, your younger quarterback showed some flashes at times. Man, Hank Brown threw a really good deep ball downfield. You got to see Walker White kind of get out and move his legs a little bit and throw on the run. But it was really Peyton Thorne's day. And, you know, it just kind of ties into what we've heard all spring long, was just, hey, Peyton Thorne is more comfortable. He looks, you know, more in command of this offense. He's playing better. You can kind of see that level of familiarity grow. And, you know, he had the best numbers by far on Saturday. And he's not guaranteed to keep this job, but he looks pretty likely to do it. So I think that was just the whole thing. You saw why Auburn did what they did this offseason is, you know, hey, we think that, you know, Peyton Thorne could be a guy that gets better if we put better talent around him. And I'm not saying he's going to go out there and win the Heisman, but look at the number of second-year transfer quarterbacks in college football who excelled last season. and Auburn thinks that they could get a jump like that in year two, maybe not to, you know, being an All-American or, you know, making it to the Heisman ceremony or anything like that, but being more like what they, you know, even what Peyton Thorne was, you know, back when he was at Michigan State when he had more talent around.
Switching sides of the ball, on the defensive side of things, anybody in particular stand out during A-Day, or what are you seeing from the defense?
I was really surprised with the defensive line, because that was a unit that we thought, you know, was going to, you know, and they probably still are going to go into the transfer portal and try to, you know, boost those numbers there. But I thought the defensive line just flat got after it. Auburn couldn't really run the ball. The offense couldn't really run the ball well in that game. So that was big. They got into the backfield a decent bit. Some of those new pass rushers played well. That defensive front looked good. And I think they're going to need more dudes, and I think they're going to attack the portal and try to you know, boost their numbers there. But, you know, when you see guys like Bobby Jamison Travis and Malik Blockton making plays, you know, kind of early on in that game, and you see the young guys on the edge like Amaris Williams and Jamonte Waller and Joe Phillips, you know, making plays with guys like Jalen McLeod and Keldrick Falk, who you know what you're getting out of them. Defensive front played really, really well, I thought. And secondary made some good plays as well. You saw some guys kind of step up you know, take away touchdowns, you know, come up with tackles in space that were really nice. So I thought your secondary showed some pretty good depth, but I was really impressed you know, with that defensive front because that was a unit, I think, that is the biggest question mark on this team heading into the fall. And you know, they stepped up with a lot of, you know, doubts around them right now.
The other big news going on at Auburn right now is involving apparel, obviously with Nike now being the apparel company. How big of a deal is this for Auburn Athletics? Do you think it does anything with recruiting? Just kind of your general thoughts on Auburn becoming a Nike school.
I don't think it's going to hurt recruiting. I don't think it's going to have some just massive impact, but I think, you know, it's all preference, really, and more guys want to wear Nike stuff. They like, you know, they like Nike apparel. Like, I think of basketball, like, you know, Under Armour. If you want to wear Under Armour basketball shoes, you got basically Steph Curry's, and that's about it. And they've got some other kind of basic ones, but Nike, you get, you know, a whole laundry list of different types of players and different types of, you know, different types of signature shoes you can go with. So I think that's, it can't hurt. I think it can only help. I don't think it's going to make a dramatic difference in terms of recruiting, but players are going to be happy with it. Current players obviously are pretty happy with it. Former players are jealous. Fans like it. You know, I think the off-the-field stuff and the involved with this deal, I think, is going to be pretty important as well. You know, Auburn switching to Nike, why is that important? Well, Bo Jackson's got a huge deal with Nike. Charles Barkley's got a got a relationship with Nike. You know, those guys can, like, come to events and wear Auburn stuff again, which I think is a pretty cool thing. And then on top of that, you know, Tim Cook played a pretty big role, I think, in landing this deal, because he is the, you know, I think he's the director, the creative director at Nike right now. He's, like, on the board there and has a pretty high up role in addition to what he does as CEO of Apple. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, Auburn ended up going with Nike. I don't think it's going to make this dramatic difference in recruiting, but it can only help, I think. And I think just more than anything, fans, players, you know, alumni are just going to be happy with it. And that's always good to see.
And then finally, Ferg, I know it's not necessarily directly with Auburn related, but in a roundabout way it is because of the SEC. But just how, what were your initial reactions to John Calipari leaving for Arkansas and how it might impact SEC basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that Arkansas was able to kind of pull it off, just because it didn't feel like, I mean, you know, it was like, oh, they're looking at, you know, Chris Beard. Oh, they're looking at, you know, they're looking at a variety of coaches and Jerome Tang or somebody like that. And then all of a sudden it was like, no, it's going to be John Calipari. And I think the thing with Cal, you know, my brother-in-law is a Kentucky fan, and I have this conversation with him a lot. We talk about Cal, like, Cal's a Hall of Famer. Cal's a really, really good basketball coach, but it wasn't getting any better at Kentucky. And it's kind of like the European soccer model, what they do with managers, where it's like, yeah, we don't think you suck at this job. We just think that it's kind of run its course. And I felt like that's kind of where they were heading at Kentucky, you know, and it was just going to be a tough departure either way. So if a school like Arkansas comes along and says, hey, we would love a coach that has, been one of the best recruiters in college basketball year after year, who's won a national title, who has, you know, built these super teams, it makes a ton of sense to make. And I think it's a good step for all parties involved. I think Arkansas gets a splash higher that they wanted, and then on top of that, I think Kentucky's going to be able to open the door and say, hey, let's go get one of the best coaches out there available. It has been kind of funny to see the Scott Drew stuff develop today. I'm sure Dan Hurley is going to talk to him. I think that if Billy Donovan was remotely interested in coming back to college basketball, that would be a name you would call pretty early. But yeah, it's Kentucky basketball. Like, they're going to be able to pick at the very top of the market. And even though I don't think Calipari was a bad coach by any means, it just wasn't getting any better there. And so it's time for a reset. And I think for Kentucky, they might be able to bring somebody they think can get them back to, you know, where they want to be in terms of winning on a consistent basis.
He's Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. Ferg, what do you have going on at the Observer here in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I got a today story on the point guard situation at Auburn that you can check out. Read that. Tomorrow we're going to have a podcast. We're going to talk some basketball. We're going to talk the Nike deal. We're going to do some fun stuff with football. That'll come out tomorrow morning. We got mailbag out on Friday for subscribers. I did a depth chart breakdown. Just kind of projecting the football depth chart. You can check out at the Observer earlier this week. And so, yeah, we got a ton of stuff coming up. And right now it's, you know, the start of the off season, but we give you, you know, three newsletters and two podcasts a week. That's the guarantee that we give you every single week at the Observer. So go subscribe. $6 a month, $60 a year. Everything we do gets emailed to your inbox. And so over these summer months, we're going to keep you up to date with, you know, everything going on with Auburn football and men's basketball, and try to have a little fun in the process. So auburnobserver.com, check it out.
Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. As always, Justin, we certainly appreciate the time with you and look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.